welcome to this week's episode of 10 Minute Tickets Talk. I'm lucky. I have Molly from the Florida Everblades here. She is the season ticket sales and service manager for the Everblades. We're in the ECHL. And I thought she would be a fantastic guest for us because the Everblades are going to be one of the first indoor teams playing in front of a reasonably sized crowd. So what the Everblades are doing and how they're doing it and what their plans are going forward in Florida, I think will be fantastic for all of our listeners to learn and understand. Molly, welcome. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you here.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
So first, let's start with tell everybody a little bit about your role and responsibility with the Everblades. Exactly what are your duties?
Yeah, so I'm the main customer service contact for all of our season ticket holders. And I'm also kind of the liaison between our office and our season ticket holders to make sure that they feel like they have all the info they need to be a part of our Blades family and they're in the know. I also manage our renewal timeline and the distribution of all of our ticket packages. And I help a little bit with ticket ops as well. So I do the ticket printing and reporting for our weekly meetings. And I'm also part of the strategic planning for the year. So setting our season ticket pricing and how we're going to handle everything. Another part of my job is our office is a team. So myself and our group sales manager, we're there to help our account executives with any questions that they have regarding to calls or meetings. And then we also kind of make plans and like a roadmap to meet their sales goals.
So now you are very, very busy. We're recording this in early December and you guys start playing in a week. You're going to be one of the first indoor teams to actually be playing in front of fans. So talk a little bit about what's taking place in Florida in terms of how you're handling the building and also how you've communicated to season ticket holders about the process as you're going through.
Yeah, so we've been in contact with our season ticket holders since our season ended last March. We're operating at 50% capacity and we're keeping all of our season ticket holders in their same seats. So we've been calling them regularly since we made that decision and since we stopped play in March, giving them updates about what we know about the season, or once we figured out that their seats were going to be the same, we let them know that they would have the same seats. And then we've been constantly emailing them to keep them in the know with any update that we got on the season or just asking them how they're doing. And then we've also been posting Q&As on social media. So I go and I summarize all the calls that I've had and see if there's any common questions that we've been getting, and then answering those questions with our VP of business development. And then he answers those questions in the Q&A, so that way it's out for everyone to see in case they didn't ask that question in the phone call.
So that's a pretty bold move. Everybody staying in their same seat. So they conceivably could be sitting next to somebody who's not part of their family, which is not what every other sports team in the country has done. How have your season ticket holders responded to that? How many have you had defer to next year or drop out?
Yeah, so most of our season ticket holders have been very comfortable sitting next to another person. Most of our season ticket holders are friends with the people they sit next to. And they've been going, I've had several people tell me they've been going out to dinner or have had plans with their seat neighbors. And then our deferral rate is very low. It's only about 4% right now. And we don't have anyone that has deferred because they don't want to sit next to someone. It's because that we have a pretty older fan base down here, and or for season ticket holder fan base. And they are high risk, so they decided it wouldn't be safe for them to come to the arena or large crowds. A lot of those people aren't even going out to restaurants at all right now.
So I think for all of our listeners, it's a pretty good example of self-accountability. Your fans will make decisions for their own health and wellness on their own, but you guys are putting some specific safety protocols in place with such things as masks and some other guidelines. What are those for everybody?
Right. We are requiring masks at all times when they're at the arena. So when they're on the concourse, they have to have a mask, and we are not allowing any eating on our concourse. They have to be in their seats in order to eat, and they have to be actively eating or drinking to have their mask down.
And your capacity for your building is going to be how much at 50%? And then roughly on a per game basis, how many more tickets do you have to actually sell to new buyers?
Yeah, we our capacity will be about 3,600, and we have about 1,500 tickets to sell per game.
Awesome. And so are you seeing new people coming on board? Or, you know, everybody, if you read the stories in the new media, it's nobody wants to go anywhere, nobody wants to go do anything. But are you seeing new people buying, whether it's season tickets, ticket packages, single game tickets, or groups? How has that gone?
Yeah, we actually, especially in the last couple of weeks, once people are seeing that we are actually having a season and starting next week, we have had new season ticket packages come on. We have been doing pretty well for individual game tickets as well. And then groups right now, we've had a few groups. They're pretty small, but we're kind of keeping a database of groups that we've talked with in the past. And staying in contact with them to let them know what we have going on and to see when they might feel comfortable coming back to the arena. So that way we can contact them in case our capacity increases and they would be able to come out and if they feel comfortable.
And for our listeners, I think that's critical. People are buying. This idea that nobody wants to go out, nobody wants to do anything, doesn't appear to be taking place, especially in states that are a little more open like Florida. Obviously, the Macon Bacon, we're seeing the same thing in Georgia and South Carolina is the same way. So recognize that if you have tickets to sell, and obviously every situation is a little bit different, put your marketing machine in place. Get your season ticket holder sales up. Get your new ticket package buyers up. Get your single game tickets out there. Don't wait and keep your fingers crossed. That's a huge message coming from the Everblades that people will buy if you get the word out that you have seats available.
Right.
So now in your case in Florida, and obviously we have vaccines coming out soon, hopefully for all of us, there's a possibility that you may have more seats available going forward. How do you, as a team, what's your strategy and plan for continued marketing for those 1,500 seats as of right now? And if by chance you get to go to 75% capacity or something larger, what's in place, what's the plan for marketing tickets going forward?
Yeah, so right now we are doing a lot more social media marketing than we have in the past. And then we also, we have our normal trade marketing that we've had before, but it's mostly social media that we've been using to market the tickets.
And here's the key for those of you who have been part of some of our digital webinars, social media engagement doesn't cost you a nickel. And the more people you get engaging, with your social media followers, the easier it is to then market tickets to them. So even if you're not selling tickets right now as a team, maximizing your social media engagement brings more people into the fold and engages with your team. So when you are in a position to be able to sell more tickets, you flip the switch and now you're making ticket offers. I think that's hugely important. So a last question for you, Molly, talk about staffing. Obviously, most teams in the industry across the entire country have laid people off. What did the Everblades do in terms of layoffs and furloughs? And where are you right now as your team comes back, gets ready to play?
Yeah, so we were a little lucky. We did furlough some of our staff right at the beginning. And then we went through a reorganization process. And then later on, around August, we had some more furloughs for our sales staff. But now everyone, they were furloughed for about a month and a half. And then now everyone is back. But we did have a little bit of reorganization. So we are a little bit smaller staff now.
Perfect. For everybody listening, the ECHL is taking the first step. Some of their teams, I think it's seven or eight of them, are starting next week. Obviously, the teams in Florida and Orlando and at the Everblades are the first ones. Bold move, very exciting for you guys to be back, going back to some semblance of normalcy. So, Molly, best of luck to you. We wish you well. Everybody in the industry will be watching to see how it goes, how safe you can make it, and the excitement your fans exhibit. It's about time that we actually see sporting events again where stadiums are more than 10% full. So we're looking forward to seeing videos and exciting things happening at the Everblades. Thank you so much and good luck going forward.
Thank you, Steve.